Praise the Lord. I'm glad you all came this morning. Praise God. I think the Lord's with us this morning. Don't you guys? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's get into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into the Word of God. We thank you so much for the privilege of knowing your Word. We thank you for the revealer of your Word, which is the Holy Spirit. Father, He works in our hearts. He creates within us a vision that we should not perish. And so this morning, Father, as we put vision into your people, may they grab a hold of it and run with it with all their strength and might and power in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, which you better have. If you don't, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. If you don't have your Bibles, don't tell me, because I'll bring you up here and make you a public spectacle of what you should not do. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5. Isn't the Lord good? Is He good? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we've been studying about knowing our adversary. And how many of you know that that's important? And one of the things that has been sold to the church is that God is in control of this world. God is in control of this world. Well, I wish that was the truth. But out of that concept that God is in control of this world, this concept of sovereignty, the sovereignty of God, got into the church to where the church is no longer responsible for their own life. That whatever happens to a person, it's because God willed it to be. And when you think about that kind of concept, then your faith really has no part to play other than you running the course of your life the way you desire. And then the responsibility of how it came out all falls back on God. And nothing can be further from the truth. We brought out that the Bible is very clear, especially in the New Testament, that God is in control of this world through the body of Christ in the earth until the church is removed. That is what your Bible tells you, New Testament. That God is in control of this world through the body of Christ in the earth until the church is removed. The devil's power only functions in the earth through deception. Through deception. And here in 1 Peter chapter 5, I want you to notice what it says. In verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now notice this. A lot of times we see scripture and we don't really read what's being said. You know, everything that scripture speaks of doesn't need a deep revelation. It just needs some good meditation. You know, we got to be careful that we don't get to the point where we have to have a revelation for every scripture. There's a lot of scripture that doesn't have revelation in it. It has stated facts. And you can see it clearly with your natural mind. Are you guys plugged in with me this morning? Hallelujah. And notice what it says here. It says, first of all, be sober. You know this word, be sober? Really, literally means be in self-control. Be in control of yourself. You see, one thing that the devil takes advantage of when he works on our thinking, our mind, is that he does not want you to find your new identity in Christ. He doesn't want you to know your new identity in Christ. He's going to go after that. But notice what he says here. Be sober. Be in self-control. Be vigilant. It means watchful. Watchful. Then they put the word because. There's no such thing as because. Your adversary does exist. And he is going about as a roaring lion. And so, first of all, the writer gives us some information about being in self-control, control of yourself, and watchful. Your adversary is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Have you guys watched Animal Planet? We covered this before. That is not the way a lion goes about to seek for its meal. I was watching where a lion attacks that which is not a part of the herd, which means he goes after the independent ones. Whether it's sickness or whatever it is, he goes for the straggler. That's his main. And when he goes for him, he doesn't go for him roaring at him. He's very sneaky, very quiet, moves very carefully. See, a lot of times we don't realize how deception really comes into our life. It doesn't come all at once. It comes a little at a time. It just sneaks up on you just a little at a time to where you don't even know the movement of it. Until all of a sudden it's on top of you. And right away we think, how did this happen? How did this happen to me? Well, it didn't happen to you all at once like you think it did. It was just sneaking up on you a little at a time. Because that's the way he functioned. That's the way he operated. He's a sneaky Pete. Gets sneaky on you. And then when he's got you right where he wants you, bam. And that shows me that we need to do what? We need to be in control of ourselves, and we need to be thinking soberly. You know what it means to think soberly? Don't be intoxicated. Don't. That means watchfulness. The word watchfulness here literally means to pay attention to what's going on around you. Don't allow yourself into a vulnerable position. I'll tell you, when God begins to work in your heart, that's the first place he goes to. Is he gets you in a place where you're in control of yourself and that you're watchful. Because God doesn't want you to be the adversary's advocate. He wants you protected. God wants you protected. He doesn't want to use the enemy to teach you something. He wants you to be exempt from his deception and his sneakiness and all his little craftiness and way of doing things. Now, it says he goes about as a roaring lion, which is not consistent with the true lion. So when the scripture says he goes about as a roaring lion, really a lion roars after he gets his prey. He's consistent with that. He starts roaring and letting everybody know, this is my meal, stay away. And so he goes about literally making you think you're his victim. When really you're not. Really you're not. Now, one thing that we haven't really understood is how do we get into this position to begin with where we're not in control of ourselves and we're not watchful? Because we end up taking too much care. Too much anxiety. We allow ourselves to be bothered by so many things, we don't realize that when you're in the hands of God, really, God wants to do something on your behalf so you're not a victim of this roaring lion. Now, in verse 9, it says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced. This word experience is very interesting. It means accomplished. Accomplished. And what he's saying is here, evidently he has been able to accomplish some things in other believers. In other believers' lives. Wouldn't it be nice to say that now that I'm a Christian, nothing bad can happen to me? Wouldn't that be nice? Nothing could be further from the truth. Because there's been a transfer of salvation from God to us, to the church. We have to activate our protection. We have to activate what God has already provided for us. See? But it's up to us, by faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace... Now, I want to stop there before I get going a little further. Notice this. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And the word for world there is cosmos, the world's system. Just because we're believers does not mean that we're exempt from the system of this world. And that's why we got to come to know really how to deal in the system of this world. Do you know that thieving and identity theft and everything else is increasing? Matter of fact, they got now something going with Experian, who handles your credit. They had a breach of their things and started scamming everybody and ruining their credit. And then Experian and everybody, these credit reporting agents now have to wait 6 to 8 months before they validate whether or not it was your fault. Isn't that crazy? Somebody tapped into our system of logging up your credit, and you got to spend 6 to 8 months to get it straightened out. Where is this world going to? Somebody said hell. Well, it is going to hell, that's for sure. But let's stay where we're in right now, the dispensation of grace. So it isn't going to hell yet because the church is still here. Praise God. But notice this, he says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Oh, I like that. You know what that's saying? It's saying that if you're watchful and if you're sober, in self-control of yourself, God can accomplish these things in you, even though the devil's going about screaming that he's got you. Because this is telling me something. It says God is able to perfect, may actually mature you. And not only that, but establish and strengthen and settle you. Woo! Now, I call that pretty good business, don't you? Hallelujah. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that good news? Because what we do is, if God is able to do something in our life to perfect me or bring me to maturity, establish me, and strengthen me, we're giving glory back to God. We're giving glory back to him. And that's what the devil does not want. He doesn't want the church to be glorified before the world. Matter of fact, the devil's greatest advocate is believers that become an enemy to the cross. And don't even realize they're enemies of the cross. Did you know an unbeliever is not an enemy to the cross? He just doesn't even acknowledge the cross. According to Scripture, where it talks about that, it says, they that are enemies of the cross are believers who literally have allowed Satan to take over and let Satan move them at his will. You know, the world picked up on something. They know that if you can get someone to defect on something that they respect, it can bring a reproach. How many of you ever heard of the commercial Verizon? You seen that guy on there? He was going around. Can you hear me now? Yes. Can you hear me now? Yes. Can you hear me now? We all picked up that Verizon is a very good system. Because no matter where you're at, you can get your contacts. Then the same guy disappears for a while, and now he's coming out and saying, by 1%, what's the difference? And they use the same guy that was at the other company for this company. You know what that means? It means, up! Get a clue! Verizon isn't all they say they are. Bringing a reproach back to the first one. I'm telling you people, Satan is really not your major number one problem. Your major number one problem is you. Are you in control of yourself? Now, I don't have time to go into all my background since I was brought into this world. But I could go back in memory as far as being a little kid to where we got the garden hose. We lived on the second floor in a house over on Grant Street. On the second floor was where our bedrooms were. And we put the garden hose, we ran it in through the window upstairs, and we filled the upstairs with water. Yeah, water. And we had discovered that some of that, you know, that plastic swimming pool stuff they had? Well, we had a swimming pool that was deflated and it wouldn't hold air. So we had learned that because of the hardwood floors and that plastic, if we got enough water under it, we could slide forever. Me and my sisters. So we filled the house with water, and the water was running down the stairs and everything, and we were just having a great old time till Mom come home. And she walks in and says, "What? Did our pipes break?" So I was telling my brothers and sisters, it's time to put the hose away. And sure enough, I got a whipping. I got a good one. And I wasn't the only one. We all lined up for a good whipping. And my mother said to me, this is what she said to me. She said, "What were you thinking? What was going through your little mind that you would do something like this?" And I'll never forget it. I said, "Mama, it was the sliding." I was trying to give her a reason why. You could slide faster with the water. She grabbed this belt of mine. And I knew I had enough beaten. Now I added some more to it, which I did. And she took that belt and she swung at me with it, and I ducked and she hit me right on top of the head. My head's still there. And one of the little beads on my belt had these little beads, these little plastic beads that would go around your belt, you know. And it cut my top of my head. And blood just started gushing out. And my mother flips out. And so she runs me down to the sink and tries to get the blood washed off and wondering how much damage she did. And you know what my thinking was? It serves you right to try and kill one of your kids. Whacked me good. The problem was, I knew right from wrong. I knew right from wrong. But that did not wipe out the fact that when you had water and that plastic mixed together, you could have a fun time of sliding all over the place. Now, the reason we stopped the sliding is because my brother Bobby got on that plastic and I got a good rush of water and he went down the stairs. And then we figured, we better stop before somebody gets killed here. That's when Mom come home. So we had no way of knowing what we were doing because of the way we were thinking. We were thinking joy, not the outcome of that joy. You follow what I'm saying? Just like before the fall, you know, God spoke to Adam, but he didn't know the consequences of the fall. See, I loved sliding and I loved water. It was a tree to look at that would make you wise. But after I partook of it, the outcome or the ramification was not anything that I expected. And so it all comes down to, what were you thinking? I'll never forget her voice when she said, "What were you thinking?" And I thought I was doing her a favor to tell her what I was thinking. That she did not want to hear. But there are things that go off in our mind all the time because of the world that we're living in. Thank God for the grace of God, because God's grace is on you. And why is His grace on you? Because He knows what you're going through in your thinking. He knows the mistakes you're going to make. He knows where you're going. But God is going to do you a favor. He's going to get a hold of you in such a way to let you know what you can do with yourself, so that you don't get caught in the results of wrong thinking. Does this help you a little bit? Now, even though I was little like that, didn't have control of myself, but when I thought of that and thought about the ramification of what we were doing, I probably would not have done it even when I was a kid, a little one. That's why it's always good to teach your kids while they're young. Get them while they're young. Because if you allow your children to just grow up any way they want to, you're doing them more harm than good, more than what you realize. Anyway, he says here that if you can get control of yourself, and if you're watchful of how the adversary is speaking to you as you being his victim, and you're not his victim. The truth really is, he is literally a victim of you. If you get a hold of your identity in Christ, then you turn on him and you'll find out how much authority you walk in. But he doesn't want you to gain your new identity in Christ. He wants you to try to reason and think things through with your natural mind. Now, the natural mind will always do its best to stay out of responsibility. That's what it goes for. The least opposition that your natural mind has to go through, that's the path your natural mind wants to take. The line of least resistance. But why would he say there, here, He says, resist him steadfast in the faith. You know what steadfast is? Being immovable. Immovable. Now, I'm going to tell you something about being immovable. First of all, you have to grow into a place of maturity in order for you to be established and strengthened and settled. You have to grow in the Lord. If you don't grow in the Lord, the outcome is not that good. But if you grow in Him, you know, it's amazing how the adversary goes about saying what he says. Do you know about, I'd say almost 100% of the time, when he begins to speak to you as if you're his victim, he will always come from the direction of your self-image and your past life. He'll use that against you every time. Why? Because that's where you made your mistakes. Like me, putting water, a hose, in the second story house, just so we could have fun. That's how stupid a lot of us really are. We do something not realizing the outcome of it. I hope this is helping you a little bit today. Praise God. I mean, if I had to go through that, you're going to go through it with me. And so He wants you to mature, He wants you established, He wants you strengthened, and He wants you settled. So the what? You can give glory back to the kingdom of God. And you know what? Giving that glory back to the kingdom of God is not for the sake of God sitting up there in heaven saying, come on, come on, I want you to worship. I want you to give me glory. That's not where God's coming from. He's saying, I want you to give glory back to the world of how good and how faithful and how I will always be with you, how I'm there for you. I know what you're going through. God wants to emanate His love, which is His glory. That's His strength, His love. Amen? It's not so that you go through something that, I told you. You know what? In the Old Testament, it's different. Did you guys know that? In the Old Testament, they didn't really respect an individual walk with God. They were supposed to respect law. Amen. And to perform it. And when they violated law, they had to do what? They had to do works to get forgiven again for the violation of the law. That's why God in the Old Testament created Proverbs. So you could have a ruler standard to be like. New Testament, guess what? Jesus backs up the book of Proverbs. He didn't do away with the book of Proverbs. He backs it up. By what? He's speaking to us today through His Son, one way, through the Son. Hallelujah. Which validates what God was speaking in the Old Testament concerning a ruler standard to be like. You know what? If it was up to you guys, I would take and read Proverbs every single day like I do. You will find scripture in there that will so bless you and it will deal directly with you. And it'll help you to be watchful and it will help you to be in control of yourself. And if that doesn't work, I don't know. I don't know where you go. Now, I'm bringing this up for one thing only. Again, Satan wants the way you think. That's what he's after. Because Paul said that is where your strategy is found. That's where your warfare is governed. The warfare is in the mind. And if we don't have each other for checks and balances, where can we go as an independent thinker? If you're an independent thinker, you're vulnerable. Now I'm going to tell you something, and I hope this really helps. I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to leave you with this thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us because we judge thus. Now, what is he saying? For the love of Christ constrains us. It means to hold and securely together. To hold on to something securely and bring all things together. Have you ever heard of a person saying, I have so many loose ends in my life, I don't know which one to do yet? How many of you ever heard that statement? This word literally says you take all those loose ends, you bring them together and you hold on to them securely. You know, for teaching thing. It means grab a hold of these things and hold on to them securely. Why would you do that? Because it's meaning what keeps something from being lost. What keeps something from being lost. What do you mean? Well, he says here, it is the love of Christ that pulls all things together securely and keeps things from being lost. Because, boy, this verse is so powerful, people. Notice this. Because we judged thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Now I'm going to tell you something. How many of you can raise your hand? Well, you don't even have to raise your hand. I'll look at your heads. Everyone in here that has a head on your shoulders, you have had a past. Can I hear an amen? Any of you sitting here that does not have a past, then what are you? Every one of us have a past. And how many of you know that our past has a lot of loose ends to think about? Amen? And so he's saying here, in order to hold all these things together so that nothing could be lost, is because we've judged something. What is he saying that we've judged? If one died for all, then all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You know what that's talking about? He put mankind in a position that whoever receives him, he's headed for something called what? Called death by the cross. So that he can do what? Start all over again in newness of life. Oh. Do you know what? If you don't see yourself having died at the cross, your past will come creeping up in your thinking. And it'll create a lot of questions in the way you think. And when it starts creating a lot of questions in the way you think, then all them loose ends will not have a looseness. It will not have an end to them. They will have all these little ifs and whats and if I hadn't and it had been and it happened to me and if it don't get a solving done, it'll point its finger back to you and say, you were the culprit. I'm going to tell you something. Every one of you here that has had a past, that past, as far as God's concerned, makes no sense. Because that past of yours was a past ordered by the God of this world. You were raised by the God of this world. Or else Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, is not what it's saying. And it is. It means what it says. You were taught by the God of this world. You were moved by it. Everything that happened to you and whatever came to your mind, that became a part of you. But when you come into Christ Jesus, thank God for the grace of God. For the grace of God, because it takes us time to work out of that understanding. Years ago, I thought it was funny how Satan can move right in there when the truth comes out. The baptism of the Holy Spirit came through this couple's life. Major move of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And right shortly after that, a major move came through the same person who was responsible for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, called inner healing. And what it does is through this teaching of inner healing, it literally says now God, through the Holy Spirit, can take your old life and clean it up and make it brand new. Some of you might have been exposed to that kind of teaching. Your inner child. That's where they come from. Your inner child. Generational things. You know what stops a generation? You know, what does a generational curse stop at? Can somebody tell me? What does a generational curse stop? Where does it stop? I'll tell you. I'll give you a clue. It's called funeral. It's called death. You see, Satan does not want you to realize that when you gave your heart to Jesus, you incurred death. You ordered up a funeral. For who? For your outer man. That means literally all that he is on the outside has to become new. Where do we find that? Well, if we read on here. Let's read on here. It says, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. This is talking about the completed work of Christ. Notice this. Therefore, from now on, we regard. This is a very, very interesting word. We regard. This literally means to know by perception or to see clearly. To know by perception or to see clearly. No one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. What does it mean, even though we've known Christ after the flesh? Come and tell you something. A mind that is not put to death, is still resurrected and still living, will try to put the reasoning of God into that life, and they don't fit. They don't fit. Why? Because when Christ died on the cross for you and said, it is finished, that meant your past life is done through. Finished. Fine. Telos. No more to it. Over. Now, why are we getting hooked up with so much? Now, Sue, this is no disregard for that thing that you really like. What do they call it? You go back into your history? Ancestry. Ancestry.com. It's okay to go and want to know your natural life. But if you're a Christian and you don't have a revelation that you were put to death on the cross, then you'll do what Ancestry.com says to do. You'll go back into your former past life and find out what you are. And then, have you noticed? I used to be thinking I was this, but now I'm this. And so I went and donned on kilts. Found out I was more Irish than I was Greek or whatever. See, all of that can subtly get into our thinking that our past life really has meaning of what it has today. Really, your past life has a meaning as far as wanting to know what the past, your past natural life was about. You want to know who your relatives are, who you were connected to. That's fine. But in the mind of God, that past life doesn't exist. I'm going to tell you something to show you about passing from this life into heaven. What if we all, now this is just a teaching thing, this is not a prophetic revelation or anything like that, but the reason I'm going to use this guy's name is because of the extremity of the insaneness of this guy. What if we all got to heaven and found Hitler there? What? Right away, the first thing to come to mind is, what is he doing here? You know what God would tell you? Well, that man died in years. He's no longer Hitler. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, believe me, Hitler did not make it. But I used him as an example of the extremeness. What if you get there and you find that the very person that violated you on earth was there? You know, I was watching this program about this family who lost their daughter and her boyfriend by this killer that killed him. And he ended up on death row. And so this family, through this whole ordeal that it took to put him on death row, couldn't wait for the day that he would be executed. And he lasted on death row for about 8 years, I think it was, or something. Some of you might even have seen the same program. And so they got stuck in traffic, but they had to get there on time. They were vehemently about getting there because they wanted to see vengeance taken out on this guy. Well, this guy on death row, he genuinely received the Lord. He did. He was genuinely saved. And so the program was that he confessed Jesus and all that, but you know, the warden and all them, they did mocked it, you know, it was just because of where he's at and everything. And so they did an interview with the guy in death row. And you could tell just by the words that were coming out of that guy's genuinely saved. But he still had the history of these people that he took. The Bible says clearly, be obedient to the law because they wield not the sword in vain. Right. Natural man, you have to pay the price for that punishment. And God knows that. Yep. But God is not limited to the punishment that mankind delivers. He goes beyond that in his love. And so, in the end, they had them all stretched out on this thing, and they had the curtain pulled back, and all the family was there, and they were just, I hate this guy. And the guy turned over, and they asked him, does he have anything he wants to say to the family that he violated? And both of the families were there, the boy and the daughter, you know. And he turned over and he looked at him and he began to cry, began to weep. He says, I only have one regret, that I only have one life to give for the two I've taken. And then they executed him. And it showed her on her grave, on her daughter's grave. And they were saying that justice was done. And she said, justice is done. Justice is done for my daughter. Boy, if he claimed that he went to heaven, then I don't want to be there. And that's how the program ended. And I went, oh my God. She spoke a death sentence on herself. See, that's the way the devil is. He wants to do everything he can to rob, kill, and destroy. And you cannot permit yourself to allow him to have a voice from your past. If you do that, you're doing yourself an injustice. You're literally not believing in what Paul wrote here. And we're all going to stand before the reward seat of Christ, and we're going to be judged according to what Paul said in my gospel. And he says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have even known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That means that your past is no longer valid in its position to speak against the things that you learn of God in yourself. Unless you let it. Now, in closing, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Next Sunday, we're going to cover chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Corinthians. And we're going to deal with the very reason of where you're at now to where you should be going so that you would be brought to maturity, established, and strengthened, and settled. People, I'm going to tell you something. The greatest inner healing you ever had was when you got born again and circumcision took place in your heart, in the Spirit. And the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. And if any have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if you know that you have the Spirit of Christ in you, get ready. Because you're about ready to do the kingdom of darkness some damage. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going into a time of seeking with the Lord. And he's already been showing me some things early this morning, real early. He woke me up and I couldn't go back to bed for a couple of hours. And he's compelled me to spend some time apart with him. And he started showing me some things I hadn't seen before out of Scripture. And I want to get it confirmed in my heart that what he's showing me is of the Lord. Is that all right with you guys? But I'm going to tell you something. I saw something that I never seen before. I saw the power in unity of the church. A church that is growing and strengthening itself. And that is a vision I believe God has given me for by his word. And I'm going to tell you something, people. This place should be filled because of the word. But it's obvious it's not. Why? God showed me why. Showed me very clearly. And I think the key is learning how to communicate to a dying world so that they would come in and receive the Word of God. I think there's just too much of the natural mind speaking rather than the spiritual mind. And if that was not the case, then any church teaching the word would be packed out. So where are we at? Well, that's where I think God's showing me where we're going to go. There are many needs in this body, and we're not functioning in the maturity of God for these needs to be met. In our midst. We're crying out for revival with the world, but yet our own body is suffering. There's got to be a reason that this has to stop. And I think that if I do some seeking time with the Lord, then I think he could show me what changes we can make. Not just in me, but for all of us. So that we begin to prosper as a church because you have the same heart I do. How many of you would like to see God's kingdom do more through our body than what it's doing? Well, I got the same spirit that you got. So when God starts showing us, I think it's going to be neat. It's going to spark life. Now, I am thoroughly convinced there's going to be no revival, end time revival. Because when you're talking revival, you're talking about the church coming alive. But I do believe that there's going to be an end time evangelism that will take, there's going to be places all over the world that you're going to see a move of God that's incredible. Are you guys following me? That's what I'm looking for. I want to believe revival. What? No. I want to believe in a move of God to see souls brought into the kingdom. I want to get my focus off of trying to revive the church and go to where the mind of God is right now. And listen, that's why that statement was made about the first shall be last and the last shall be first. That's the direction God's moving in. He's going to move away from that which insists on staying stuck to those who want to move forward. And we're going to see a move of God in such a way that you're going to see lost souls come in. And it's not going to be through our own natural mind or strength. It's going to be by the leading of the Holy Spirit working in each of our hearts to bring glory back to the kingdom to reach out to this dying lost world. You believe that? Hallelujah. Well, I got to go there if you're going to go there. Right? I wouldn't want to go there and nobody following. You know what that's called? You're out on a walk on your own. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God this morning. And Father, I thank you that you're going to move us into the presence of God more and more. I thank you for the move of the Spirit in our midst this morning during our song service and the words that you shared with us and the move through Lonnie. Father, I'm excited about the Lord being excited in them, Father. It just pleases me to see your people on fire from Him. And Father, I thank you for our corporate prayer Tuesday nights, how these certain ones have come and you begin to speak to me about using them as prayer warriors. Father, there's a lot we can do as a church to begin to reap souls. And so, Father, bring us all to that place where we see the lost come in and we see the unbelieving believer coming in and receiving the best that God has for them. Father, this world is out of control. Father, bring the church into control so that we can reach them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Stand up, everybody. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that the enemy is going to lose his stronghold on our minds, Father. We are free people. We are free people. We are winners. And that's the truth of the matter. And devil, you can go about roaring all you want to, but we're not your victims. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.